address an audience such as this. It's a blessing because it's an opportunity to preach the Word of God. And it's a blessing to be able to look out over an audience like this and to see so many people. We have visitors here today in almost every section of the auditorium. We're just glad that each one of you is here. And let me encourage you when the service is over today to take just two or three minutes and be sure to greet those folks that are sitting on the seat where you are, behind you, in front of you. Our main purpose, of course, is to be here to worship God. But one of the fringe benefits that we get is being able to meet and greet so many people. We're just glad you're here. We announced in the bulletin that the subject for this morning is Make Me and Her. That's H-U-R, not H-E-R. I suppose that if I'm able to do that, that'll make me Ben Her. You might turn to Exodus, the 17th chapter. Although that's going to be our main text, I asked Jared to read from Ephesians 4 because there are a couple statements in verse 16 there that say what I want us to get out of Exodus 17. You notice that he read in that passage where he says that every part is to share. Well, another version says every joint supplies. And the end of the verse was that it makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That's quantity growth and quality growth. And the real reason that he says we can have both quality and quantity growth is that when everybody is doing what he can, every joint is supplying, every person is being himself instead of trying to be somebody else, but is using himself in the Lord's service. I think there is a lesson along this line for us in the 17th chapter of Exodus, and I want to begin at verse 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Moses said unto Joshua, Choose us our men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed, but when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. H-U-R, Hur. Not much said about that fellow in the Bible. We'll notice toward the end of the lesson this morning a mention that's made in the 24th chapter of Exodus. If we turned over to 1 Chronicles chapter 2, we'd get a little bit of his lineage and his ancestry from whence he came. He's mentioned, or the word is mentioned, three or four other times in the Bible, but it is thought that perhaps those refer to another person, and so we probably only have about three or four passages in the entire Bible where Hur is mentioned. And yet this morning I'm suggesting that we ought to be made like Hur. And I would guess that most of us that are in the audience this morning can really identify with this individual better than we can any of the others that are mentioned in this chapter. Moses, Aaron, Joshua, and Hur. Now first, let me suggest to you who Hur was not. He was not a Moses. He did not have the miraculous ability that God had given to Moses to lead the children of Israel and even to perform a miraculous act on this occasion. In addition, just about two verses earlier in this chapter, we have the record of Moses striking the rock and bringing water out for the people. And that's just another example of all the powers that Moses had as he was God's leader. You remember God promised that he would be with him, that he would give him what he needed to accomplish his task. They came to the Red Sea. Moses was able just to reach out over it, and the sea parted, and the children of Israel passed by on dry land to the other side. This occasion here in this chapter, they needed water. He took a rod and just struck the rock, and this is the time where God did tell him to strike the rock. And water came forth for 2.5-3.5 million people, multitude of people. Moses was an outstanding man. In fact, I'm persuaded that if we were able to rate people as God really knows them, that Moses would be near the top of the list. He was there at the Mount of Transfiguration to represent the law of Moses, probably. Many times the dispensation that has to do with the Ten Commandments and the laws surrounding those commandments is referred to as the Mosaic dispensation. And when we get to the description of heaven in the book of Revelation, it says we'll sing the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. Moses was an outstanding leader. Hur was not a Moses. He did not have those same gifts that God had given to Moses. He could not do what Moses was able to do. He was not a Moses. In the second place, Hur was not an Aaron. Now, as they held up Moses' hands, Aaron was on one side and Hur was on the other. He was able to do what Aaron was doing on this occasion, but he was not able to do what Aaron did on other occasions. Because, you see, Aaron was a priest. In fact, he was a high priest. In order to be a priest at that time, one had to come from the tribe of Levi. 1 Chronicles 2 tells us that Hur came from the tribe of Judah. And so even though he might have wanted to be a priest, he might have desired to be a priest, he might have even had some qualities that could have been used, he was limited in that he did not have the background qualifications in order to be a priest in God's people at that time. So he was not an Aaron. Sometimes today, I think we maybe get to feeling sorry for ourselves when we're not like other people. Maybe a person is born in a certain nation, or he's born a certain color, or he's born a certain type individual as far as background is concerned. And more than half of you that are here this morning were born as women. And there are some limitations that God has given based upon His Word, that there are some things in the church that women cannot do. There are some things that some of us as men do not have the background and the qualities and qualifications to do, and sometimes we begin to feel that we are limited. Well, Hur was limited because of his background. He was limited because of the tribe in which he was born. He was not a Levite. He was a tribe of Judah. Therefore, according to God's will, he could not be a priest like Aaron. And he might have stood back and said, well, since I can't do what Aaron can do, I just won't do anything. That sounds like some modern people today, doesn't it? But Hur could not be an Aaron. Hur was not a Joshua. Joshua was another one of those outstanding people that become almost a household word. I suppose even the boys and girls in the audience this morning could tell us about the time that Joshua walked up to the Jordan River and led the children of Israel across the Jordan River. And those of you especially that were involved in Vacation Bible School this year, remember what Joshua did at Jericho. What he did in some of those battles. And here on this occasion, it's Joshua that's down there in front of the soldiers. It's Joshua who is the military leader, not Hur. Hur probably did not have the military background and the qualifications to be a leader like Joshua. He was never asked to be a leader like Joshua. So Hur was not a Moses. He was not an Aaron, and he was not a Joshua. But the battle could easily have been lost if it had not been for Hur. Moses, that great leader, who in a sense represented the presence of God on this occasion, in fact, he says, I'll take the rod of God up there, was the one who had to hold up his hands in some fashion with the rod of God. And God evidently had set the situation so that as long as Moses held up his hands, at least that's what Moses tells Joshua, as long as Moses holds up his hands, Israel will prevail. But when his hands became heavy, as the scriptures say, and he could not steady his hands to hold them up, there's where Hur came in to assist Aaron in holding up the hands of Moses. And just as surely as Moses' hands went down, God's people were losers. But when his hands were up, they were winners. And it was Hur who was on one side of Moses holding up his hand, steadying his hand when his hand had become tired. Joshua was down there in front, but didn't make any difference. Joshua was losing unless Hur was helping hold up the hands. Aaron was on the other side, but he was just holding up one hand. Would have been losing if it hadn't been for Hur in his place. Now, folks, we need to make present-day application to this. Most of us that are in this audience this morning can identify with Hur more than we can either of the other three on this occasion. There are not many people like Moses. The Bible even indicates that more than once, that they just didn't find anybody just like Moses. Moses was one of the outstanding men that ever lived. He even represented the presence of God on this occasion, had the rod of God. Not many people could ever stand in a position like that. I think of our elders as I think of Moses. They're not given miraculous gifts today, but they're in the position of leadership. And you know, there are times that their hands become tired, just like Moses did. And there are times that it's hard for them to hold up their hands and go ahead and do the work in the leadership capacity that they need to do, unless there are others that are there to steady their hands and to encourage them and to hold up those hands. I think sometimes when I think of Aaron, those of us that preach the gospel, there's a sense in which all of us are priests in the church, and I know that, and maybe there's more likeness to a prophet of those of us that preach than a priest, but at least we're in a position to be able to proclaim God's word, and able to do a lot of things that are helpful to other people. And sometimes people will say, well, I just wish I could be an elder, or I wish I could preach, but I can't do it. I'm not worth anything in the Lord's service. And maybe we think of Joshua as others who lead in different capacities in specific battles. I suppose our deacons, in a sense, lead in specific areas of work. As long as the elders are holding up their hands in that proper place and God's word is being preached and the deacons are doing their work, the work of the Lord is going to grow. We'll win the battle. But we'll only win that battle if we have more of us that are like her to hold up the hands of those that lead. I've been associated with elders in the church for so many years now that I know some of the problems that they face. Some of the difficulties sometimes that they have in being able to find the time and the effort. And I'll tell you, there are times that they get tired physically. And sometimes it's even easy for elders and preachers and others to get tired spiritually unless they have those to hold up their hands, to give them the support. I think it's interesting on this occasion that they even found a stone and let Moses sit down. They let him sit down to rest a little bit, and they held up his hands so the battle could go on. It's that type individual who is the jewel in the Lord's service. I know firsthand, time and time again, there have been people who could never be an elder, could never preach, maybe couldn't even teach a Bible class, who's patted me on the back or given me a word of encouragement in the preaching of the gospel that's made all the difference in the world. And I suppose there's not an elder or a preacher, but who at one time or another in his life has thought, is it worth it? Can we win the battle? And it's been those people in the trenches, those who are there to come through and hold up the hands and hold up the arms that makes it possible for us to go on and do the work of the Lord and accomplish what He wants us to accomplish. We need more people in the church today who are like her. Not like Moses, just not many like that. Not like Aaron, not like Joshua. But there to do the job and to help and support. Maybe it's just a word, maybe it's just a little deed, a cup of cold water in God's name, or being the mustard seed that grows up. Something that is little, but is there to help hold that arm up. Moses could have been in his place, Aaron could have been in his place, Joshua could have been in his place, and still lost the battle. If it hadn't been for her on the other side of Moses to hold up that arm. A few years ago, a father was filling out an application to a certain university to apply for acceptance for his daughter. There was a question on that application that said, "Will your daughter make a good leader?" The father wrote in as his answer, "No, but she will make an excellent follower." A few days later, he got a personal letter back from the president of the university saying, "We would be most happy to accept your daughter. So far for next year, we have 1,670 leaders, and this is the first follower we've had apply." I think that says something. We need leaders. But sometimes they need their hands held up. And it's going to be those average, if you please, everyday good men and women who are Christians and who are active in the Lord's church, who are ready to give that encouraging word, who are ready to reach out to promote and help, who are ready to hold up the arms of those that lead, who are going to really, really make the difference. We need congregations full of hers. We need our leaders, but we need the hers to hold up their hands. And there is a sense in which we encourage, as we encourage you to become a Christian or become a more faithful Christian, that in a sense we're asking you to be like her. We want you to be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, but also to become active in the Lord's church. Maybe you can't be like somebody else, but you can be yourself, and you can at least hold somebody's hand up and give an encouraging word. And when we suggest that maybe you need to be restored and come back to your active involvement in the Lord's kingdom, this is what we're talking about. Come back and get involved, doing whatever you can do. Whatever you can do is important. In fact, it is the most important thing you can do, even if it's nothing more than holding up the hand of somebody like Moses to keep the fight going on for the Lord's cause. Lord, make me a her. I think that's a prayer that all of us can pray. And at the same time, if there are circumstances in your life that keep you from being able to give your best in the Lord's kingdom, why not come to Christ as together we stand and sing?
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow, follow me. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him all the way. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through garden. I'll go with him all the way. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him all the way. I'll go with him through the judgment. I'll go with him through the judgment. I'll go with him through the judgment. I'll go with him all the way. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow.
This morning, Christy Yates comes saying, "I've come forward to ask for forgiveness for not being a real Christian that I should be, and ask for our prayers." She also asks us to pray for her brother, who's having some difficulties, and for Jean Howell, a real close friend, and I understand a friend to many of you young folks. Jean was injured in an automobile accident and is in the hospital, and Christy asks that we pray for her brother and for Jean, as well as for her. And also this morning, I need to introduce Terry and Christine Johnson. Terry and Christine, would you stand there toward the back in the center? They desire to place membership. They are the parents of Marty Johnson and also Teresa Newman, and are tied to the congregation through family in many ways. And I want to introduce Heather Kirsteins. Heather, would you stand? Heather wants to place membership. She is the fiancée, or is that financer, of Mike Womble, and we're glad to have Heather here. I want to tell you one thing about Heather. This past week, or the last couple weeks, especially during the time that the Kimball house burned, Mike was very much involved in that, and Heather happened to be here at the building when we heard about it, and she went with Mike and was involved in helping prepare food in other ways, and we appreciate her interest in that way also. This morning at the 8 o'clock service, Greg and Kathy Maples place membership. So, Brother Smith, if you will, come and lead us for these new members, and especially for Christy Yates.
Let us pray. Our Father, we're so thankful this Lord's Day. We thank you, Father, for you being a loving Lord. We thank you for Christy, as she's come forward this morning asking for her prayers. Let us, as members, encourage her, help her, assist her, set an example for her where she can live a good Christian life. Be with her brother, Father, and be with Jean Howell. Be with these as they need help and need your love. Father, we're so blessed today that Greg and Kathy Maples have moved into our community. Thank you for bringing them our way. Father, and we're thankful that Terry and Christine Johnson has come our way to place membership. And also for Heather Hurston, who won't be a part of us. Father, we're thankful for Mike Womble and the work he does here with the youth. And we're glad to have Heather as part of it. Father, we thank you for these. Be with us as leaders of this congregation. Pray we will get these involved. And pray that, Father, that you continue to bless us. Be with us as we continue this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Song before the Lord's Supper will be number 181. 181.
Tis midnight and on olive's brow the star is dimmed that lately shone. Tis midnight in the garden now. Savior, praise alone. Tis midnight, and from all removed, the Savior wrestles lone with fears in that disaster. is born the song that angels know, unheard by mortals are the strains that